So this morning we continue our series on Songs of Lament as we explore Psalm 90. This psalm is the only psalm attributed to Moses, and this psalm and the ones that follow are placed after Psalm 89, but Psalm 89 speaks of a huge national crisis that the Israelites were facing of going into exile and the fall of the Davidic monarchy. And so often the circumstances of our own lives, the horrendous events we see globally, nationally, can overwhelm us, can't they? And it is good and proper to lament the atrocities that happen in the present. But as Rob has been reminding us, we lament with hope. Psalm 90 invites the reader, invites us, to look back and to have a wider perspective of time than just the present day. It invites us to see the different layers of time, of God's time, of our human time, and to stand and understand in the midst of it. Psalm 90 was initially speaking to a displaced and suffering people. They've lost their home, they've lost their king. And the writer urges Israel to remember the time of Moses, who was the leader of Israel when there was no king, and to remember that Yahweh, their God, is the true king of Israel. He was their king in the time of Moses, long before David was born, and he will be king afterwards. Their God always has and always will reign. And we hear this invitation to have a wider perspective of time, to stand and see these different layers, God's and ours, immediately in the first two verses. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations, all generations. Dwelling place here means home or safe haven, refuge. God has faithfully held his people. He has been their home continually throughout the generations. What an incredible thing to be able to say, especially as in the very next breath, the psalmist says that God has always been God. He's the creator, the one who birthed the world. He is the one who created time, everything we see and hear and smell and touch. He is the ageless one. His age goes back before the creation of the world, and it goes on into the future. He is from everlasting to everlasting. And how incredible is that? That the one who is from everlasting to everlasting, we are but speck in his time. Or as the psalmist says later, we are like new grass to him that springs in the morning, but by evening it's dry and withered. That he, the everlasting one, is our home. Such is the intimacy that we are invited into by God himself. He invited us to be at home, safe and loved and held by him. We have mountains close by, or at least some that you can see right across the water. And so often I stand just wide-eyed at these. He is the one who created those, and yet still he is our home. We have been reminded of who God is, and beginning in verse 3, where we are reminded who we are. We are mortal. We are made from the dust. And if you've read or ever heard the opening chapters of the book of Genesis before, I'm sure you'll be reminded of it here. Return to dust, you mortals. That was and is the consequence of humanity's sinfulness, our rebellion against God. Our thoughts and actions which say, I'm not going to listen to God, I know better. And the consequence of that, we're told, is death, is the shortness of our lives. And the psalmist goes on. He really brings it home in this psalm at just how short our lives are in comparison to the ageless one. 1,000 years in God's sight is like a day. In fact, he says it's shorter than a day. It's just a watch in the night, which is probably around 4 hours. 1,000 years to God is like 4 hours. And Peter quotes this in his second letter when the early church were maybe a bit angsty that Jesus hadn't come back yet. He reminds them that God's time is not our time. Jesus will return. He's got his own timetable. And we have a very narrow understanding and perspective on time. But God has this eternal view. The psalmist continues. He says to God, you sweep away people in the sleep of death. And sweep here, not just like a broom, it's referring to a flood or a rainstorm that sweeps people away. It's really very like vivid imagery. It says we are like new grass, springing up in the morning, then withered in the evening. The psalm is very clear. We will die, and our lives are but the click of a finger. This is a fact that a lot of us, I think even as we grow older, don't really like to think about. And why would we, I suppose? We even maybe try to ignore or hide from it. The number of funerals that I've done of people even in their 80s or 90s that never sat down and talked with their loved ones about how they would like their funeral to be is really astonishing, which makes me think that maybe they were just ignoring the fact that they would one day die. And dying isn't something I think most people my age would consider either. Until that is, we are confronted maybe with the death of a child or a young adult or just someone that we love. Psalm 90 says, no matter how full of life we might seem, we do wither away. And I don't think this is meant to paralyze us or to make us live in constant fear or depression. But I think it is clear so that we can have a true and wider perspective on life. The psalmist goes on to say in verse 7, speaking of Israel as a community, that we are consumed by your anger, terrified by your indignation. He says to God, all our sins are laid bare before you. There is no hiding in the presence of God. There is nowhere to hide and nothing that we can hide. Even our secret sins lay bare in his presence. And all our days pass under your wrath. Even our days are like all the days that are good, even those are but trouble and sorrow. These verses are really quite heavy, aren't they? I read it through a number of times, and you go through it and you're like, Oh my goodness. It sounds a bit nicer in a Canadian accent, you know, but still. It sounds a bit kinder. But it's still, when you think about it, pretty, oh, heavy. It hits you. We hear the lamenting of individual and communal sin, and really the state of the relationship between God and his people. It is clear that they are under his righteous judgment, that we are all under God's decision he made in his righteousness, which led to the shortness of our lives. The psalmist says we finish our lives with a moan, the best of them, trouble and sorrow. And we feel like this sometimes, don't we? Like life and all it entails is sometimes a burden. And this, the psalmist is saying, this is the result of our iniquity and our sin. Humans don't walk humbly with God. We don't act justly or love mercy. We don't love God or our brothers and sisters. We lie in the bed we make for ourselves. And when we turn from life, when we turn from God, our existence becomes like dust. This Psalm 90 is saying, this is what we're like. And no wonder it's a lament psalm. And it feels like, even though it was only a few verses ago, such a far cry from saying that the Lord is our home, from being at home in God. And yet, even with all our brokenness, our finiteness, and our struggles, that is still the truth that was laid out for us at the beginning. That is still the backdrop, that Yahweh is our home, that we find our true home and our refuge in him. In verse 11, the psalmist says to God, if only we knew the power of your anger, your wrath is as great as the fear that is due to you. Which, if we're honest, if I'm honest, feels like a really odd thing to say, doesn't it? I don't think anyone here is sat looking for more of God's anger on their life, are we? We might want it for other people, but we definitely don't want it for ourselves. I think what the psalmist is trying to get at here is that we cannot imagine the anger, the righteous anger of such a great and loving God. When he looks at creation, his creation, when he looks at the creatures he made in his image and sees what a mess we've made, the damage we do to the earth and to each other. I think that's what the psalmist is trying to get at. And when he says his anger is as great as the fear, I think fear here is more awe or respect, you know, that old sense of fear. I don't think respect fully encapsulates it. But his anger is great as the fear that is due to him. So it's immeasurably more, the psalmist is saying, than we can comprehend. I think there is a sense of who actually considers that they are under the power of your anger, God? Who makes this connection between maybe the shortness of our lives and our sin? And so he asks God, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Now, may we allow God to widen our perspective just from the here and now. If we are struggling like Israel was at this time, teach us the perspective to remember that God has always been faithful and will always be faithful, and that this day will pass. says teach us to understand our mortality, to know that we're not God, but he calls us to follow him, to find life and our home in him, just as many have before and many will after us. I think a heart of wisdom is a heart and a life attuned to God's ways and his will, his rhythm of working, shaping and transforming, which I think so often surprises us, actually. We're reminded, aren't we, that his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. But he longs to bring us into those ways and invites us to be at home in them. In verse 13, we hear the boldness of the psalmist as he intercedes on behalf of the people. And we remember here Moses and how he interceded on behalf of the Israelites in Exodus. It's really interesting, I think, because we see the intimacy of the relationship between God and his people in the boldness of this intercessor. He cries, "Relent, Lord. How long will it be?" God can hold our cries of how long. He knows your pain. Even though our lives are but a day, he still cares, he still sees, and he still loves and listens. We see here that he answers prayer. The psalmist wouldn't bother praying, he wouldn't bother interceding if he did not believe, if he did not know that God could change the situation. He remembers God's faithfulness and compassion, and he is convinced of his righteousness. There is hope, because God is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. The psalmist in verse 14 states clearly what he needs from God. Clearly, actually, what we all need. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. We know the psalmist and all of Israel were looking ahead for the promised Messiah, the one who would save. We see the Lord's unfailing love has been given to us in Jesus through his death and resurrection. He gives us this great unfailing love. In the book of Romans, Paul says, "For the wages of sin is death." This is what Psalm 90 has been telling us. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. His love changes everything. Nothing can separate us, we're told, from the love of Jesus. His love is steadfast and unfailing. It is him that satisfies us, even through the sorrow and the pain, and I'm sure many of you know that. It is Jesus that has taken all our sin, all our iniquities, even the hidden ones, and freed us from it, that we may have peace with God. We have this hope. We have this gladness, the joy of knowing Jesus, of God's being our home, our dwelling place. We hear the psalmist ask the Lord to make the people glad, to make them glad for as many days as they've been afflicted. Again, inviting us to have this wider perspective, You know, these days have been full of sorrow, but in the next, we will know the gladness, the joy of the Lord. And so he's asking for generations to come as well. He's asking that generations to come may know the Lord's deeds and may see his splendor. I wonder if we have that perspective, if we ever ask that actually, if we are seeing God's kingdom in that way of when we're sharing the good news now, are we asking that generations to come may see his splendor as well, may see and know? As we come to the end of this psalm, we hear the psalmist ask the Lord for his favor, that he may establish the works of their hands. And all of this, he asks this in light of what he has just cried out. And it echoes here Proverbs 16. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your hands, your plans. It is on the steadfast love of God that we work from, whatever that work or play or rest may look like. Our lives in this age may be brief. We quickly pass and fly away. But the Lord knows you and he loves you. He invites you to be at home in him. It's from both these realizations, this wider perspective, that the psalmist realizes that any work he's going to do, that anything that's going to be of lasting value, must be the work of the ageless one, the eternal God, who sees beyond the current generation and sees all things, and has been faithful always. May we also, through the grace and love of God, knowing the hope we have in Jesus, may we also be able to see with this wider perspective. May we ask God for this heart of wisdom, that even as we follow him, even as we do lament the shortness of our lives, in this age, and even with the sin and the sorrow in the world, may we work and live out of this hope. Amen.